As Alex Forbes CEO Andrew Darfur told Arabile Gumede on the Business Breakfast Show this morning, only 6% of us are retiring comfortably. That is to say that we're retiring with a monthly replacement income equivalent to around 3/4 of our current salaries. And the scary part, if that isn't scary enough, is that this stat has barely changed since the introduction of defined contribution funds. It does appear that the system is broken somewhere. We're just not seeing better outcomes for retirees. And Sanlam's benchmark survey released this week shows that millennials in particular are the group most at risk of poor retirement outcomes. I've got Varesh Maharaj, CEO of Client Solutions at Sanlam Employee Benefits, on the line. Welcome to the Retirement Feature, Varesh. This is bad news.
It is bad news, Mike, but I think that there is hope. First off, just to define who we're talking about when we refer to millennials, because I think we've got to be quite specific. Here we're speaking to the generation of people born between roughly 1981 and 1996. So to help that make sense, it's a generation that goes from Kendall Jenner through to Venus Williams. These are people that are in work, have kids. They're not as young as they used to be.
Yeah.
And they're at risk.
Yeah, you're talking your mid-30s. They should have been saving, on average, one can assume, if you're talking about graduates, for at least 12-odd years. And you know what's interesting for me is through the research that you've conducted, I recall when I graduated, the dean cautioning us not to be wedded to our degrees too much, because back then, and I think I'm giving my age away now, people change jobs on average 7 times in a career. But your research shows that this has doubled. I mean, the average now in the marketplace seems to be between 12 and 15 times.
Yes, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics in the States, they anticipate that the average millennial will have between 12 to 15 job changes in their lifetimes. Now, in our specific retirement funding context, it means that millennials have many more opportunities to withdraw savings from their retirement funds and suffer the consequences of not preserving. They're more exposed to that risk. So, to your earlier statement, our contention is that a millennial in the workforce has been saving their entire career if they've been part of a fund. The issue is that they change jobs and do not stay preserved in their funds. So while they've been saving, they've actually got very, very little saved up.
And it's just too tempting in this environment for people to, when they change jobs, cash in their retirement savings and use that to either pay off a credit card or go on an expensive, all things paid vacation somewhere. Why are we not seeing the levels of preservation that we ideally should see? Because if you think about it, preservation is probably the number one issue that we're right in this particular cohort. We always talk about fees and all the other issues in the industry, but if you're not preserving, you're not going to achieve your retirement outcomes.
Look, I'd like to start on that statement. In our view, preservation is the number one issue. It doesn't matter what clever investment strategy you've got, whatever the fees are, whatever type of advice you get. If you don't preserve, it's irrelevant. It's moot. Preservation is the bedrock of retirement funding. Now, there are a couple of factors and trends at play that lead to this millennial group being unlikely to preserve. Yes, you've mentioned the consumerism, but we think it goes a bit deeper than that. For instance, millennials tend not to relate to retirement as a goal. We conducted research amongst focus groups of millennials, and you could feel the atmosphere in the room change as soon as you mentioned the word retirement. The most common association or word associated to retirement is aging, and that's not a positive association. So this negative implication disassociates millennials emotionally and cognitively from the behaviors and actions required to move to better retirement outcomes. Over and above that, millennials are skeptical in general, but particularly skeptical of financial services companies. They've seen the impact that poor retirement funding has had on their parents, whether or not their parents did the right things. They've experienced hidden fees, they've experienced jargon, and they've seen what that's done to their parents, and this has created an even higher level of skepticism towards financial services. Over and above that, most millennials are overconfident in their own abilities. They simply believe that we can make a plan. You can Google your way out of this. added to that is the paradox that while millennials on average globally tend to be the most educated generation or cohort, they have very poor levels of financial literacy. Finally, and we believe, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that is quite interesting for a generation that probably has more information at their fingertips and at their disposal than any before it.
Absolutely. And when we refer to financial literacy, this is it's foundational stuff. It's how to manage debt, how to budget, and how to understand the power of compound interest. I think in our engagement with advisors who consult and provide advice to professionals, so doctors, lawyers, architects, accountants, even some actuaries, maybe not the actuaries, but everyone else tends to struggle with the understanding the basics of how to manage your finances. And this is despite being clever. This is despite being intelligent. It seems to be a blind spot when it comes to managing one's life. And this leads to, on average, most millennials not being targeted by financial advisors simply because they don't have enough saved up to be of economic interest for advisors. And I've got empathy for the advisors, because if you're looking to provide advice to someone who's got 50,000 Rand and you want them to preserve, you're going to earn 500 Rand a year for providing that advice and the risk and compliance and the effort that goes along with that. Mm. So it means that millennials are being largely ignored by advisors because it's not in their financial interest to get involved.
It's creating that advice gap. I mean, we have seen the rise of some innovations, be it robo-advice, to try and bridge the gap at least. But
yes.
What I really find interesting in this space, and we seem to have a very similar theme conversation year in, year out, about trying to get the younger generation to buy into retirement saving. And obviously education and advice is vitally important, but it's how we frame that education. It's how we frame that advice. And if your research is indicating that the messages as they're currently framed tend to have not the impact cognitively that you're looking for, because we're not explaining to millennials that it's not about aging, it's about planning your lifestyle now, then surely the industry needs to take a long, hard look at its messaging and how it's framing that that message.
I completely agree with you. I think I go even further to say that as an industry, we are of the view that millennials are not engaged with us. But I believe the fact of the matter is that we as an industry are not engaged with millennials. Millennials who make up almost 50% of the membership basis of retirement funds. And we do have to take a very long, hard look at ourselves and the way in which we conduct ourselves in order to become relevant to this generation.
That said, though, there are ways, if you're looking at a millennial generation, that perhaps places a bigger emphasis on technology, on flexibility, different kinds of workplace rewards. If you're an employer who wants to be very attractive to this particular cohort, which, let's face it, is the labor force of the future, any which way you slice it, looking at your employee benefits and the way you structure those becomes even more important to retain millennial talent.
Absolutely. And I think this is where we found that corporate South Africa is very much on that wicket. Corporates, through human resources and leadership, understand how to engage millennials far better than retirement funds do. And there's a reason for that. Within corporates, you've got a fair diversity within the decision-making teams. It might not be where it needs to be, but it's reasonable. What we find when it comes to retirement funds is that fewer than 5% of boards of trustees of retirement funds are made up of millennials, yet close on half of the membership bases of these same funds are comprised of millennials. So you don't have representative voices on the boards of trustees to help craft the messaging, to craft the structuring of the funds in a way that is relevant to this generation.
That's a very interesting observation. Unfortunately, we don't have much more time to really unpack what that means. But just in closing, we've got the default regulations that need to be in place by March of next year. There is a focus on preservation and also on introducing a retirement benefits counselor, which hopefully will plug some of that education gap. Are you confident that we're going to see the sorts of outcomes that Treasury is hopeful we will?
I am confident that if implemented in the spirit of the legislation, we will see an improvement.
In the spirit and not just to tick a box, in other words?
Absolutely. I think that the legislation is currently broad enough that simple written communication suffices, but we have historically seen that that's not good enough. So if a fund simply ticks the box, it's good enough to improve outcomes. You have to go further. In fact, we find that in our research of professional and benefits consultants, the largely held view is retirement benefits counseling is actually more relevant than financial advice for millennials for a host of reasons.
Paresh Maharaj, CEO of Client Solutions at Sanlam Employee Benefits, with some very useful insights, particularly into that millennial cohort from the Sanlam's Benchmark Survey, which was released yesterday. You're listening to Classic Business on Classic 102.7.